You're listening to Fitzy's Friday Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. Download the SEN app to make sure you never miss a tip from the Magic Man.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Good afternoon, wherever you may be, right around the country. Friday midday means one thing. It's time for the Form Lounge. Miles Fitzner with you for the next hour as we turn our attention once again and concentrate on the west of Australia. Big show coming up. Sammy's done a magnificent job and he's lined up the best out of the west. Tim Gossage should join me very, very shortly. The superstar jockey Clint Johnston Porter to join me as well just after about 12:15. Mitch Lewis to run through the cards, of course, at Caulfield Zipping Classic Day as well. And we'll talk some horses at Morfordville Parks track, and then Dan Cripps to join me as we get his best bets, and then you'll get mine at the end of the show. 0499 736 736. You know the rules. 0499 736 736. I want the horses that you like, the winner of the Winterbottom, the winner of the Zipping Classic, your best bets, any horse, any question, you name it, right around the country. 0499 736 736. Absolutely love this man. When I first started on radio, he took me under his wing a bit. He always checked in with me. He's helped me out the entire time. When I started in the game, he is one of the best in the West. I speak of the great Tim Gossage. Hello to you, Gozza.
Oh, Fitzy, nice to chat with you, great man. Finished up on breakfast today, so I'm on 2 months, 2 months leave. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to steam into the Pinnacles. How I saw the photo of you out there last week. How is it over there at the moment? I'm jealous I'm not there.
Last week was a bit confusing. It was a great start. The crowd was a little down. It's still big, don't get me wrong. And, you know, there was predictions of 39 degrees. But atmosphere amazing. Ollie is a special guest. They've named the 1900 bar and stand after him. Gay Waterhouse was there. She was my barrel girl. Like, there was a barrel when they had to draw out 10 tickets. And guess who did the drawing? She did, and
no,
I read out the names. Yeah, no, sure, we worked beautifully. It was fantastic, and I had spent a couple of days in hospital this week, Miles. I haven't really let people know, not the whole day, just had to go in a couple of times for third degree bruises and injuries forced on me by Terry Layton after Be Optimistic.
How good was that?
I was standing next to Terry. Well, mate, this is how well I'm going. I didn't even know he owned it. And
didn't you?
I knew that he'd had a wager. No, I didn't know. And I knew that he'd tipped it. I knew you'd tipped it and you liked it. And then he introduced me to a young man who's, I know, his wife, who's involved in real estate. Blue bar, blue bar, blue. All worked out. He went cocoa bananas to the point they actually picked up Luke Fernie. Like, Luke Fernie's a big unit. He picked him up. Leighton was, he went disgustingly crazy, but gee, it's passionate. And you've got to love him for it. And it landed the prize. It was never going to get beaten. It was a great day last week.
Well, look, mate, when the price maybe had a two in front of it that some of us got, that's probably why he picked up.
He was
Luke
up and
Fernie.
About.
There's a few of us went early. Now, it was hit and miss. It was one of those days I found last week that, I mean, I managed to turn a profit in the railway, but I did back Bustler, Maraschino and Comfort Me. You know, so. It's there's weird ways to go about it in some of those bigger races. But the Winterbottom this week, does it look a little bit more clear cut for you than probably the railway last week?
Well, it does, because, of course, the top weight is a bona fide star and has won here, of course. But, gee, there were some big runs down the bottom. Ripcord was enormous. I know you're speaking to CJP. Like, I've never seen a horse get home as quick as it last start. It was amazing. It's still going to represent great value. I think there's going to be high speed on, because we know Overpass is drawn a little out wide, so it's going to have to pour on the pressure to sort of get to the lead. So it's going to be another high-pressure race. Does it look a one-out? Does it look a standout? You'd go Overpass due to pure class, but at the same time, it is WA racing, and we do things a little bit differently over here. There's often high-speed in races. And you've got to look down the bottom of the weights as well. Oscar's Fortune's a really talented horse, and as we mentioned, Ripcord. So, yes, I think I'll be tipping the top weight to get the money. And I was at the Quokka last year when it was just magnificent when it took out the big race. Bjorn Baker loves a big win over here. Josh Parr knows how to get the job done over here. So that'll be very hard to beat. I wouldn't say it's a one-outer, but I think you're certainly going to have to find it. Or every horse that any horse that's going to beat it, it's going to have to be on its best behaviour.
Yeah, that's how it looked like for me, that you get two horses that are the three-year-olds down the bottom, and whether or not they can be good enough to try and overturn the star at the top, and whether or not then you can sort of back to it value and maybe save one. But that looks about it. That Ripcord win was something else, and I'm going to talk to CJP about it. But it's funny how they look like that, isn't it, Goz? But I think it was still only the eighth fastest last 200 for the day. You'd swear it was the fastest by the length of the Flemington Straight, wouldn't you?
Yeah, correct. And I think, Oscar's Fortune Augment, I think they were starting to paddle a little bit. It had been a high-pressure race, but did come from 12th, had drew the outside, came from 12th at the 400. The momentum was there. Probably a lot of its work was done between the 400 and the 200, but it was an exceptional performance. And we all love those fast-finishing wins, and that was something to behold. But you're probably right. When you go on numbers alone, probably the inside horses were paddling more than it was actually flying home. But, gee, it was good to the eye.
Hey, what else have you liked over there so far? What have you got sort of just kicking around? I know you like your mail. People text through to you and you get a bit of mail here and there. What else is kicking around?
Just in regards to the races tomorrow or just in general?
We'll start with the races tomorrow. I've got some... I want to ask you on some other general mail too after this in a second.
With pleasure. Last week, the first race was called off. And probably with hindsight, probably shouldn't have been. I think there was a scare factor. It was going to be 39, but it was 32 early in stage 32. First race was declared a no race. Obviously, it was abandoned. I liked Tony Spirit last week. Now, this is a little tougher than what it's expecting. Jordan Rolfe is a fine young trainer. Michael Poy, as your listeners in Victoria predominantly, I know we go around the country, but Michael Poy has really made a stand over here in regards to getting plenty of rides. He's riding plenty of winners. He's travelling to ride them. And he's on this thing at $13 tomorrow, Tony Spirit, in the first. Diamond Scene has got a picket fence alongside his name. Drawn one, William Pike. We know where Pike is going to go. He's going to go inside. So Tony Spirit's going to need every bit of every hope. But I think at each way odds in the first, Tony Spirit, the male, is pretty good for it. And then I'm going to bookend the meeting because they're going to go all the way back to the last race. And my neighbour, he's been around for years, Ian, he's related to Michael Campbell, and I didn't know. So he put his head up over the fence yesterday, and he said, me cousin or me nephew, or I don't even know what he is, the relation, Michael is saddling up a winner on Saturday at the race.
Oh, I love these. And I love these.
And I'm assuming, if I know Michael Campbell, he's got a bit of merit going around in the last race. Lucy Fiori to ride $5, barrier 3, open race, final event on the card. Anything could win. If you're alive in the quaddy, good luck. But there you go. So there's some neighbourly advice that's a bit of merit, according to Ian, my longtime neighbour, who's related to the trainer, is saying that he'll have a winner on Saturday.
Oh, I knew you'd have something up your sleeve. Now, the one other thing, I knew there'd be something coming from somewhere. The one other thing I did want to ask you is, what's this mail getting around about the Harley Reid hamstring? What's the go there?
No Harley Reid. Mate, he came across with a dodgy knee. Mate, can we not talk about Harley Reid? He's had the back page every day since he's been here.
So he should.
We're on Harley Watch. Mate, I'm all Harley Reid. Don't worry. I was chips in Harley Reid. I went harder when everyone said they were going to trade out the picks, and I was trying to tell people that ain't going to happen. We told him that he had to take pick number 9. West Coast weren't even planning to give him 9 until we told him to take it. So he is a superstar in WA. Everywhere he goes, people want their photo with him. He is Nat Nui-esque at the moment in WA. He's settled in really nicely. And for a bloke that didn't want to come here, according to Sam McClure and others, he looks pretty comfortable, let me tell you.
Yeah, what did you make of that? He put it out there, didn't he? And then he had to go the double down rather than saying, oh, well, look, I didn't think they'd do that. I got it wrong. He doubled down.
He's still doubling down. He still reckons he shouldn't be there. And he still reckons West Coast stuffed it up. I mean, mate, he's the best player by the length of the Flemington Straight. I mean, you just take the best available. West Coast, can you imagine West Coast not taking Harley Reid, and for the next 5-10 years, they're going to live with it? Bottom line is, everyone says, I'll only be here for 3 years. Take the 3 years. If he doesn't want to be here after 3 years, trade him out, get the first pick in the next draft if he becomes available, or he stays and becomes a 250-gamer. Matthew Pavlich stayed. Shannon Hearn stayed. Plenty have stayed. Harley Reid, very comfortable in WA, and WA's warm to him big time.
I've been saying this for some time, that if you get them in your system and your system isn't good enough to keep them there, then then that's a problem with your system. So if you can get them there for 3 years, and if you can't convince them after 3 years that they want to stay, well, then that's your own fault.
Miles, he's coming from Tongala, mate. He's not coming from South Yarra. He's not coming from Toorak. Seriously, everyone thinks that Perth's a backwater. The last time I checked the ATM, they don't pay me in corn chips. We get dollars and cents like the rest of the country, you know?
What else is happening in the West, mate? Where are the Wildcats? Can you give us like an overview of everything in the West at the moment?
Oh, Hutchie's here today. Danger. Oh, Hutchie's here today. Yeah. Oh. ECM and all the and Simkiss and all the big owners.
Oh, look out.
I know. But Scotty and I got out of the radio this morning before he arrived. But the Wildcats are in action tonight. They take on the Sydney Kings now. And all of Sydney's owners, Paul Smith, Luke Longley, Andrew Bogut, are all going to be in the house. So it could get very feisty indeed. Huge game for the Caddies after the break. 5 wins. We don't like Sydney. Sydney don't like us. Going to be huge tonight. So fingers crossed they can keep going, because if the Wildcats keep winning, we'll keep our jobs, Miles.
And do the Scorchers win the BBL?
They'll win the BBL, yeah. And the girls folded up. Spoke to Mitch Marsh today. He won't play a lot of it, but he's going to try. And as he said, he's only one bad test match about being dropped out of the test team, so he might become available. Scorchers will just win. They're the best at it. Best fans, best venue. It's over. So what we're doing is we're going to go all up, overpass, into Bit of Merit, into Wildcats, into Scorchers to win the title. You're going to have to be patient, because the final of the Big Bash is not for a while.
Patient? Yeah, we've only got to wait 2 months for that Māori to land, Goss. I'll get Sam to put a time marker on this so we can
go back and
get the audio. Mate, always love chatting to you. You're an absolute ripper, and you've always been generous with your time, mate. Hopefully maybe even get you on next week or the week after.
Yeah, love you, Miles. You do a great job, mate. All the very best.
Tim Gossage there. He's a superstar out of the West. He's a jet. He's a jet, Goss. Just one of the great guys. This is a Form Lounge on a Friday, 0499-736-736. CJP to join me on the other side of this. Mitch Lewis still to come. And off the text, Michael from Clyde Fitzy, you're an absolute pisser, baiting sausage in the snap of a finger. Now, I knew that once we get to Harley Reid stuff, I did like his call saying they pay dollars and cents over here like everyone else. It's not the backwater. Anyway, we'll jump to a break. Good to chat to Goss. On the other side of this, we'll chat with, superstar jockey Clint Johnston-Porter. Miles Fitzner with you right around the country. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Fitzy's Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. You're listening to Fitzy's Friday Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. Download the SEN app to make sure you never miss a tip from the Magic Man. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Welcome back to the Form Lounge right around the country. 0499-736-736. It's 0499-736-736. Love to hear from you. What do you like? Simo said, can overpass win from Barry 11? Dead said it can, Simo. Just depends on how the race is going to be run here from a tempo perspective. And this is what I really want to talk to Cripper about as well. But like I explained on the what I call the main station a little bit earlier, is I'm having 3 bets in the race. One of them, well, 2 of them will be on Ripcord and Oscar's Fortune on the 2 down in the weights. And then I'm going to back overpass enough to essentially get my stake back and a little bit more. So that's how we played it the other day with Bustler, and that's how we'll continue to play it. 0499-736-736. It's 0499-736-736. Wherever you may be, right around the country, and let us know on any horses you like. Define Spirit, I'll get to that. Mitch Lewis, not far away either, and Dan Cripps with his best bets. But love to know yours. Absolutely love to know yours. It's not sure. Have we got Clint down the line? I think Sam might be on the phone to him right now as we have a chat to him. We've got Clint on the line. Joins us, a superstar of the West, CJP. Hello to you, mate.
Mate, I don't think I could ride a horse as good as that bloke could.
Oh, I got to you, Mitchie Lewis. Hello to you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah. Hello. How are you going, mate?
I'm going well. Hey, sorry. I just had CJP up on my sheet. And I thought I was talking to the best hoop going around. Instead, I'm talking to one of the best tipsters in the business. Mate, how are you, first of all? We haven't had a chat for a little while.
Oh, I'm pretty good, mate. All's well that ends well type thing. Yeah, it's been busy enough, but good. And what about you? Did you celebrate in style? Well, I know you did.
Absolutely, I
did. That cigar.
Yep, went to a beautiful cigar last night, which I'm not... I really like cigars. I'm not a huge cigar smoker day to day, but I really like going and having a nice cigar. Hey, mate, can we touch quickly on the Valley first tonight? I might even roll you across the news here if that's okay with you. But you're a Valley specialist. Yep. You love the Valley. I know you love it. You're good at it. What do you like at the Valley tonight for a few people to maybe sort of pick up a little bit of a quid tonight? Is that there's one in about race five, isn't there, called Foolproof that looks pretty hard to beat?
I was willing to risk Foolproof, but I've got three best bets there at the Valley. I just thought that Foolproof was short enough, in my opinion, for where I'd mapped him. So, you know, I'm not being a brain surgeon here. I think you want to be forwards, and I'm getting my race map up. I had him going a little bit back. I thought Lady Tino probably gets run of the race.
Yep, for Jerome Hunter and Tatum Bull. Anything else or anything at the Valley that's worth sort of stepping into tonight?
Yep. Two that I'm pretty keen on. In the first, number 14, Faithful Champion for the Hayes team. So this is an ex-Hong Kong galloper that I believe David had and he sent back here to Australia after two unsuccessful runs over there. He showed that he's got some talent in two trials at Flemington and his last one in particular was very impressive. So he jumped and led in those trials. I think he'll land in a good position and I think, given his sort of talent that he showed at the trials, he might be too good for this maiden.
Beautiful. Anything else?
Race three, number two, the Genius. So this horse hit the line really well to run third over the 2,000 metres last start. He was a little bit unlucky at the top of the straight, up to the 2,500 metres today and down in grade. I think that's a much better setup for this horse. So that's my best of the night there.
The Genius, Danny O'Brien and Damien Lane. Now, we'll turn our attention to the Zipping Classic. And, mate, this is one of those meetings that just sticks with me, the Zipping Classic race especially. I've got memories of zipping or bolting in. It's just a day that I always, every time it pops up, I sort of can know exactly where I was when I watched a few of these races. What do you like in the Zipping Classic to start with? I know Duke de Cessa, I sort of wanted probably more rain. Then it made it probably a bit more open than I thought. I thought Muramasa's probably the best of the horses on a good deck.
That's probably exactly the same as what I'm thinking. So at this stage, I'm still happy to be with Duke de Cessa because I think there's going to be rain during the day. So we know that rain during the meeting can just make it a little bit wetter than what, say, the rating might be. So I think Duke de Cessa, it's promised a lot. If the conditions suit, I think it gets its best opportunity to win a race like this. It's won twice over the 2,400 metres. So if we do get it a soft six, I think Duke de Cessa is a play. But if the rain stays away, I agree. I think Muramasa is the one. She's been going really well.
We'll go to race number seven on the card, the Sandown Guineas. It looks all about Arkansas Kid in this. I know it opened at $2 out to $2.35. I wanted to make a case for a horse maybe like Sunset Dreaming. I was with it last start or even a Vivier.
Yeah, I'm the same. So I keep coming back to Arkansas Kid and I'm a little bit like, well, I may as well not try and change it up. You just got to keep it simple. Look, I think he's been closing off races okay. That to me suggests the 1600's not going to be an issue. Barrier six, I think Mark Zara can put him in a position behind the two leaders Prevailed and Perovic. So I believe this is a very good opportunity for him down in grade to be able to tick a good race off this prep.
I'll save Arkansas Kid and then I'll just have a little nibble Sunset Dreaming at $17. There was a bit of a whisper kicking around that it was going to go all right last start. Hey, what about race number nine, the Summon Stakes? Revolutionary Miss, superb win last start. And I can't believe I actually went on this show and I said, go with Revolutionary Miss. And then when I got onto Saturday, I tipped Carzoo on the Saturday, which was just
And then Carzoo pulled up lane and everything, had all the bad luck in the world, so you were stiff there.
Yeah, so what do you like here in the Summon?
Oh, tough race. I didn't think Revolutionary Miss would get the same sort of race to run as she did last week. I sort of thought the Lassifier might be a little chance, a little bit better value. I think it's a little bit better set up for this horse than it was in the last start. Drawn much better. Last time had a wide run from Barrier 13 on a leaders favouring track. I think she can improve and she'll go pretty close, in my opinion.
Is there anything else in that race that we can maybe make a case for? Like Frumos, if it gets any better, Wollombi. Yeah, Pickeroon's an interesting one here. This is a horse that, you know, it won a 70 at Hamilton back on the 14th of October. It comes to Flemington over the mile in the 80 and beat some really, really, really good horses.
There was some very, very strong mail before that Hamilton race. I think it was 17s into 7. So I think they reckon they found the key to this horse. And I agree. I think it can run a race. I thought the last start win was very impressive. So that's the one that I would say is a little bit rougher play in the race.
What we might do, Mitchie, if I can hold you over the news, if you can just give us a little bit more of your time. I'm going to quickly jump to the news. I'll come back, get your best bets for Caulfield and, of course, Morfordville Parks. And if you've done any in the West, I'll get them there too. I want all your tips. I'm chatting to Mitch Lewis from Form Guide Breakdowns. You can go follow him on Twitter. His tipping service there. It's all free and he's a jet. We're going to go to the news pack in a moment.
You're listening to Fitzy's Friday Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. Download the SEN app to make sure you never miss a tip from the Magic Man.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Well, welcome back to the Form Lounge on a Friday. Miles Fitzner with you right around the country. Love to get your texts in, 0499 736 736. Just a little bit of bad news just there in the news break. Unfortunately, CJP's had something come up and is not able to come on the show. So, we apologise for putting that up on the top, but it just can't be helped. So, shout out to CJP and we'll try and get him on again for you next week. But he's just had something pop up, so we'll leave him be. Mitchie Lewis joins me from Form Guide Breakdowns. Mitchie, just a little bit more time than we thought now. I want to go back and maybe if we can even sort of half buzz through this card at Caulfield, the Merson Cooper race number one over the 1,000. It's all about Aniza, but I know there's been a bit of a push for this horse, flattered by a few people as well, Paddy Payne's and Billy Egan's.
Yeah, interesting race. I am with Aniza. So I thought the run behind Caravas down the straight was reasonably good. She did a few things wrong. I just saw that in a race like this, I like to lean to race experience, and she's got that. So wouldn't be surprised. The other one, the James Cummings debutante as well, wouldn't surprise me either, but I'm going for race experience in this race.
Yeah, how do you say that? Voile? Voile? It looks like voila.
I'll leave that through to the keeper. I've stuffed the queue up this week.
Hey, race number two over the 1,800, benchmark 70. Awash is a favourite at $4.80. This is a bit wild, this, by the look of this race.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'd describe it, mate. I found it pretty tough. I thought, for me, the best chance was probably going to be Starry Anne. I think they scratched from a race somewhere else to be here. I sort of thought the last start, six, was an okay run in that. It was an interesting race, that one. So I gave it a chance, but I'm probably not having a bet in this race.
We'll go to race number three on the card over the 2,400, the benchmark 84. These are the horses that essentially probably not in the Zipping Classic or just the one below. Cadmus is your favourite. I know there's early money on for Pesto, nines into $6. Wouldn't surprise me if a horse like Maserati Bay turned up here, if it went a bit sort of on pace. I don't think you can bet into this race with a huge amount of confidence, can you?
No. So I'm a little bit the same. I've got one of value in this race, number four, Farrago. So it's got a good record with Craig Williams in the saddle. If there's a little bit of rain around as well, I think that...
Oh, this is that duck, isn't it? He's a duck.
Yeah. And so I think it should, if the rain is around from Barrier 3, lead them up, which I'm expecting to be a better position. And I think that horse will go close from a good ride.
Race number four on the card is the Twilight Glow Stakes. Thanks to Mercedes-Benz at Berwick. And if they're listening, I'm in the market for a new car too, Mercedes-Benz, if you want to get it on the Form Lounge. Race number four. Mate, this is nearly the best on the card, isn't it? Miravale Rose. I've been with it the last two. I just thought unlucky that last start.
Yeah, that's right. not sure I wanted to play at that price because I think the number one horse, Extremely Rowdy, could be a very handy filly. I'm surprised they backed up after the impressive run last week at Cranbourne. So I'm just a little bit worried Extremely Rowdy might be there or thereabouts. She might be a really good filly. So I'm probably willing to dodge this race, but it's got to be between those two, the one and the three.
Yeah, it was a superb win by Extremely Rowdy. I know the Galagotis team had pretty well declared it. Race number five, Ain't No Deal, done the favourite here over the 1,800 in the Lamaros Hotel Eclipse Stakes. Probably another one. I know a lot of people are keen on Just Folk. I know there's talk around about Keats. Oh, I've got to stick with Ain't No Deal Done here.
Yeah, this is one I've said a lot on Gareth's shows this week. You need to be able to be flexible with some of these meetings when you're unsure what the rain's going to do. So I'm Just Folk if I'm a soft six plus, and I'm Ain't No Deal and Done anything better. I think Ain't No Deal and Done needs a good track to be able to produce his best. And if there's a bit of rain around, I think Just Folk's going to grow a leg, hopefully.
And then we'll get to the Kevin Heavenen, which is race number six. Valana's a favourite at 2.15. This is another race that you probably, like, if it's wet, Valana's in it up to its neck. It'll probably start $1.80 because 3 from 4 on the heavy deck. I mean, this thing just had dead set swims. But we just don't really know what we've got. I mean, maybe Unusual Culture comes into it, solid enough record second up, but I'd want it sort of this. I'd want it sort of soft at worst, not no heavy.
Yeah, I've got Valana on top in the race, expecting a soft six. I think that'll be enough for that horse. But if it's dry enough and you don't get any more rain over there, I think Crosshaven can run a race. Won this race last year, has won third up before, and the first up run was very impressive. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that horse run a race.
And the race we didn't touch on before is the Premier Science Dufton Stakes in race number 10. Jigsaw Jigsaw got scratched from one of the other races to race here the other week, didn't it? It was a late scratch.
The Apache Cat.
The Apache Cat. Garn to your favourite for the Snowden team. Showmanship's got to be some hope first up. Extremely Lucky, we've seen before. Samillion's a good horse on its day. Cardigan Queen can show up. I mean, this is a field leg in the quaddie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be tight. I think by now you'll know how the track's playing. If the track is a little bit leaderish due to the wind they're forecasting, I think Jigsaw's going to be the one in the right position.
Jeez, they've plonked Lord of Sion at the top two, open 17s into $9 already. And continuing to come. Now, your best bets at Caulfield before we turn our attention quickly to Morfordville Parks?
We'll go race 7, number 1, Arkansas Kid, and race 8, number 7, Duke de Cessa. If it's wet, I think he's a bet.
All right. Morfordville Parks. Interesting little meeting, this. The one that I really, well, that stood out for me is the Nick Ryan runner in race 10 of Port Albert. I wanted to touch on it. Do you think it can win?
Yes, I think it can. This is easily the best race of the day. I think he stands out. The one that I was going to be with at Calor Dream at an each-way price, but they've scratched that horse. So just watch the track for any leader bias. So I definitely think Port Albert's a chance, but I also give Clabelle a chance first up. Trialled really well recently.
So where are your best bets at Morfordville? I'll let you run through them, buddy.
Race 1, number 4, Moon Treaty. First starter for the Jolly Team. We know the Jolly Team have an unbelievable record with their first starters. This horse has continually been back since the market's come up, so that's a little indicator to me. They've got some people that bet in that stable, so I think this horse is going to be ready to go. Trialled really well, showed good early speed, barrier 3. It's got all the hallmarks of a win for a debutant here, so I think Moon Treaty wins race 1.
Yep.
Race 3, I like number 4, Lights of Broadway. She's a mare in form. Oh, she's been
just come out. Oh, yeah, I was with you there too.
How long ago was that?
Oh, not that long.
This morning.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
I gave it out in Garrisco this morning and she was still there. How devastating is that?
Yeah, I know. But look, you know what? Sometimes when you tip them as a best bet and they get scratched, you haven't lost. So you just take it as a win.
All right, yeah. So race 4, number 5, Aruga Mama, short now, but I think it just gets the job done. $1.70, perhaps put it in a small mold, double it up with something. Race 6, number 1, Fantify, she should win, she's short. Perhaps they're the two that you could put together. Michael's stable is going really well this season, and he declared Roulette Queen the other day, so I'd like to know.
Oh, how good was that?
He's going to... Yeah. Did you hear him on Go?
No, I only heard him afterwards, but... Someone said I'd go and have a listen to this, and I heard him say back, and Gareth said, now you've got Roulette Queen, and then Michael just went, it'll win. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was beautiful. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. He must have been on the phone with the other end of me, and I just finished talking about that horse, so I'm quite happy with that he didn't hear me pot it or the other way, vice versa.
No, mate, you've superb by you. We had a great day Wednesday. Now, what were... So other than that one in race six, what have we got any later at Morfordville Parks?
Yeah, I think race eight, number one, Mr. Havachat. He might be my each-way player of the day. So I'm expecting this track's going to be a little bit leaderish with the rail out and a bit of sun around. Barrier three, going to jump forward. There's not a lot of pressure in the race, so I think he'll get run of the race up in front. Now, Rockstar Megsy, the six, is the best horse in the race, but she's first up from barrier eight over 1,000 metres, and she likes to get back to last. So she's going to need a fair bit of luck from that barrier, in my opinion, first up. So I think Mr. Havachat will bounce on the bunny, and he's at least the top three charts.
And now, today, you've got a couple of Mount Gambier today, don't you, for us a little bit later on?
Yeah, Mount Gambier's got their twilight meeting, Christmas twilight meeting tonight, and they've got nine races. So with Maricourt getting knocked out last week, they've picked up a few extra races. So I'd say it'd be a pretty good show out there today.
Yeah, well, get out there. What they still call it Glen Burnie Racecourse?
Yeah, I think that's what they... Alan Scott, Glen Burnie Racecourse. And
yep.
Yeah, they just keep adding names to it. But no, it's looking absolutely unbelievable recently.
Hey, what have you got for us here, buddy?
Right, race one, number nine, Harleen, making its debut for the Daniel Bowman stable. I don't know if you remember this horse. This is an ex-Chris Beig horse. Harleen spent a lot of time running around races with Jubinenko and stuff like that in the two-year-old seasons and three-year-old races. I think some of her metro form back at Morfordville was quite strong. So I think she's probably going to be too good for him in a class one here. She's got barrier four and a little bit of speed. I think she'll go forwards and be in a handy position, which you'll want to be over the 900 metres. So race one, number nine, Harleen, kicks our day away early.
Yeah, I'm agree. The money on too. Money's on. Where are we going next?
Yep. Race four, number two, Erlandis. This is for the Tony and Calvin McAvoy team. They bring one across from Ballarat down here to Mount Gambier. So this horse is taking a little bit of time to get to the track. It's had a lot of trials, but its last few trials have indicated that it looks ready to go. 1550 metre maiden. I don't think this is a very strong race, and I think they have strategically brought this horse just to tick off this win. So like I said, it's not a very strong race. I think he looks a better type. His reading suggests he might be a reasonable type. So I think he wins on debut here.
All right. Where and any others?
Race 8, number 9, Ornamental Lady. So this horse has been running around in BM66s at Morfordville and competing okay. The last start, fourth behind La Defense and All Beans, it was a pretty good form reference. So she's won here before. I think barrier 9's not too bad because she's got a little bit of speed and there's not much else speed in the race. So she'll find a position about outside the leader. Look, I just think she's probably dropping in grade to a much easier level and she should get the job done for us there.
Mitchie, appreciate everything, mate. Thanks for filling in and just buying me a little bit more time too with the CJP withdrawing. We'll get on those at Mount Gambier today. All your tips and everything are up at formguidebreakdowns.com.au and Twitter, aren't they?
Yep, that's right. All the todays are up there, and then when I've got enough room on the webpage, I'll fire up tomorrow's as well. So they're all up there for free.
Mate, you've been going as well as anyone in the country. Appreciate your time as always, buddy.
Thank you, mate. Have a good day and good luck, listeners, if you're following.
Mitchie Lewis, he's a superstar. Go follow him at Form Guy Breakdowns. Go and have a look at his results. He's a jet. We're going to jump to a break. Dan Cripps on the other side of this. We'll try to quickly run through the Ascot card for you. My best bets, probably a little shorter this week. I want to wait. I've been going a bit early with the best bets, and I've been sort of running second, third here or there and not quite polishing them off. So I've got a couple we'll throw out. But we'll touch more on that on the other side of this. This is the Form Lounge.
You're listening to Fitzy's Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. You're listening to Fitzy's Friday Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner. Download the SEN app to make sure you never miss a tip from the Magic Man. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Welcome back to the Form Lounge on a Friday right around the country. A few texts, Nico, Dan, Mac, I'll get to them. I'll get to them very, very shortly. Hey, I've got to introduce this man, though. He's a superstar out of the West. We love having him on. And we know that we only talk to them at certain times of the year, really, and put it in focus because sometimes Perth racing to the East is like the red-headed stepchild that you don't talk to at Christmas, but not at this time of the year. Dan Cripps from Cripps Racing joins me. Hello, Cripper.
Hello, Fitzy. Always a pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, now, has Terry Layton come down from cloud nine after last week? I messaged him. I said, there's not a beer safe anywhere in WA. And he said, beer, all of them. That's after he sent back. We all had a bet, be optimistic. What a win.
Oh, no. I wasn't out there last Saturday, and so I didn't get to spend any time around him, which might have been a good thing. But and I actually haven't seen the footage yet, but apparently they got it on camera, him basically having Luke Fernie on his shoulders. So I'll tell you what, he must be on a pretty good gym program right now. That's no mean feat.
That's what happens when you have a sizable bet at around the 20s and you can sort of grow in strength. If you can put LK on your shoulders, he's not as wiry as I thought he was. Hey, overall, though, how did you see the meeting? I thought it played pretty fair. I actually had a really good day.
Yeah, definitely. It was. It looked like the spot to be was just behind the speed, you know, sort of like the Bustler run, getting three deck with cover. And I wish I could say the same as you, Fitz. It was a tough old day for me. I was pretty keen on Soup Smith, had a bit of futures as well. And under the turn, I said to someone I was watching, I thought, you beauty, here we go. And but yeah, in hindsight, didn't see a mile. So she'll go to Gold Rush next week. And I think she'll do a lot better at 1400. But I'm a little bit once bitten, twice shy. So we'll see what price she goes up next week and how that race pans out.
What are you liking then on the card here? We've got about 2 or 3 minutes, but what do you have as your best? It was a hard day for best. There were a few that I was having savers. I thought Duchess of Gossip in race 8 was going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, definitely agree. The early price she went up, I thought, looked quite attractive around that $3 mark. At the moment, $2.40, probably on the right quote, I'd say. My one query with her is, look, she was absolute moral beat. First up, I thought, the one query I have with her is just barrier 2 in a race where they could walk, and if they do, she just might get cluttered away again while horses like Amber Glide and Rusty Dreams get a free flow into it. But yeah, if she gets the breaks, I reckon she wins. The one horse, my clear best of the day, and I was hoping you probably know more about the horse than me, but race 9, number 1, Overpassing the big one, I just can't see how if he runs up to anywhere near his best, they get near him.
No, you're spot on. If he turns up, the race is over. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's travel, heat, anything like that. We saw it last week. Some of those other horses didn't fire.
Yeah, you're right. Probably the two differences is he has the extra week to acclimatise and he's been over here and done it before. So, look, I mean, you try sometimes not to read too much into what trainers say, but I've been following all the socials this week from the Bjorn Baker yard and they just seem like there's an air of confidence about him. He seems a happy horse again, so because, you know, obviously he didn't go that well in the Everest, but even then, only been beaten 4 lengths, he probably only has to run a length better than that and he nearly has his field covered. I do think that at the moment WA sprinting ranks are quite weak. We had a lot of good ones retire in the last 12 to 18 months. And at the prices, while they're both single figures, I'm relatively happy to take on the three-year-olds. It hasn't historically been a good race for the three-year-olds. They just don't get that same weight swing at weight for age over these distances, say what they do in the Northerly in a fortnight's time.
Anything else on the card that worth a little bit of a dabble from your end? I was going to have CJP on, but he pulled out, and I was going to run right through all these runners. But it looks a reasonable betting day.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this card. Obviously, yeah, Overpass would be my clear best of the day. But in race 4, I want to play 2 horses. Main bet is number 5, Holy Enchantment. He surprised a lot of us, including myself first up, but the stable definitely didn't forget to back him. I think he was 20s into 8 that day, first up in a mile and won really well. He should only improve going up to 1,800 metres. I've always had a heap of time for this horse and he went off the boil last prep, but on reflection, you could probably put it down to he just didn't like the wet track. So if he's back to his best, which I think he is, he's going to get a lovely run, barrier 3 just in behind him. And I think he can go on with it now. In that...
Oh, lost him. Have I lost him? We'll just see whether or not we get Cribbit back. We may even go to a quick break, and we'll see whether or not we get him back. Just running low on time too. Yeah, got you there, Cribber.
Yeah, got ya.
The other one with Holy Enchantment, just quickly.
Yeah, the other one is the Seven Mountain Ash, who actually was run down by Holy Enchantment last start and probably didn't get conditions to suit that day. Gets a 2 kilo swing, jumps straight to the front. He might not get conditions to suit again with the southwesterly, but he'll be in front for a long way. Should get a much more suitable map here. It doesn't look to be a lot of speed. So well, I want to play those two. And also in race two, look, Yonga Lash was pretty impressive last start, but at even money, I can't dive into that price. So there's one down the bottom that I want to have something each way, and that's the number 13, Thorogood. He's similar to Holy Enchantment, just didn't come up in the winter. He doesn't like soft tracks, but his three runs this time in over 1,200 metres, which is way too short, have all been really good, especially last start when he got back and flew against the pattern of the day. Up to 1,500 metres, barrier two, settles a lot closer. I reckon he can run you a race at a double-figure price each way.
Cripper, appreciate your time, buddy. I'm running really low on time, but I'll talk to you a bit later on. Thanks, mate.
Sounds good, Fitzy. Catch up.
Dead Cripps, Cripps Racing. Go and subscribe to him. Best Bets coming back on the other side of this. Cripper's a star. Go and follow him.
You're listening to Fitzy's Form Lounge with Miles Fitzner.
Welcome back to the Form Lounge. Miles Fitzner with you. Dan Maclock's Duke DeCessa, his best bet. A few Wilders winners at the Mount today. Wombat was in. And Tabby time. Yeah, to go close in a Muchy Cup. Ripcord Lay of the Day from Simo. Few best bets from me, but the most of these will go out tomorrow, really, because I just want to get to the state of the tracks. Race 8, number 7 at Ascot, Duchess of Gossip. Race 10, number 1 at Morfordville Parks, Port Albert. Caulfield, clearly race 4, number 3, Miravale Rose, but I want to wait on tracks. Same as when we go to the Zipping Classic. Duke DeCessa if it's wet, Muramasa if it's dry. Most of these are going to go up on my Dabble profile tomorrow morning. They'll also go up on the Instagram story. Just want to finalise my best. I've been thereabouts. I think the last 15, we've had three winners and something like 9 seconds. So I just want to check them off on a Saturday morning. Plus, my birthday yesterday. A little bit behind the eight ball. Hope you all have a great weekend. Trackside coming at you. I'm back tomorrow morning, the odds couple. Tomorrow, Saturday afternoon for Trackside. Then Sunday afternoon for Trackside. So wherever you may be, turn your dial to SEN Track. Tune in for winners right throughout the weekend. Love you all. Take care of each other. See you soon.